Against my plans, I'm returning to the subject that we dealt with last week. The reason for doing that is this, that I sense quite a strong sense of engagement from people and have had some feedback about that. We've followed it up a bit during the week. The other couple of reasons why I've returned to this subject is I felt God helping me, pressing me in a bit on this thing about finding out what God is doing and joining in with him. On Thursday, I was with my parents and had been looking to God for something to bring to them, and had been thinking about one of the references that I made and hopefully got Facebook this week, which was the one that though our outer self is falling apart, our inward self is being renewed every day. And felt to talk to my dad about that, who is really struggling with the fact that he's finding it more and more difficult to move. And it led on to a conversation about a new book that's out from somebody who is doing his best to finish well. Nobody talks very much about Billy Graham, but it's great to know that he and the guys who are with him are still pushing on into God. His music leader is 102 now, George Beverly Shea, 102, and Cliff Barrows, who was always the baby. I can remember Cliff Barrows when I was 4. I went to see this guy, and it was one of the things that stuck out to me at the Haringey Stadium was this guy with a trombone who led the choir, and he's 80 odd. And Billy Graham's in his 90s. And so I talked to my mum and dad a bit about that, didn't feel to pray on that occasion, so felt as I'd accomplished what I should have been doing, flowed in with what God was doing. My mum's doing better and better, physically getting around, and there was a lot of energy there. And I got back to the station, I'm sitting in the waiting room, and up comes the sign, as it often does, delays due to a broken down train, and sometimes that involves cancellations and all the reserved seats going and all sorts of messing around, which I thoroughly detest. And I find myself saying, Lord, what are you doing and where can I join in? Now, so I'm sitting there doing that and trying to do the Evening Standard crossword. Once upon a time I used to, when I did it every day, being able to do the cryptic in 20 minutes, but haven't completed one for years. So I'm sitting there doing that and coming back to this thing of, Lord, what are you doing? And somebody walks into the waiting room and I think, I know that face. It's Joe Roberts. And by the time we got to the train, they had taken off all the reserved seats, so we were able to sit together. And Joe, he and I haven't had breakfast together now, I think, for 2 months, and it'll be another month because they're away now. We actually had a whole hour and a quarter to talk about some big stuff and their plans and how much strain work is. And it was one of those real encouragements. So please do understand in the light of what I was saying last week. I'm not trying to put myself up as a star on this. What I'm saying, guys, if it can work for me, it can work for you too. Now, yeah. There aren't going to be... There are many ways of constructing that comment. Comment ending, none of which are complimentary to me. That's just... No, you're not. But that just is just really encouraged me as I was getting back into this. And let me summarise, particularly for Simon and Anna, for anybody else who wasn't particularly concentrating, I was doing kids' work and stuff. What I wanted to talk about was stepping up and staying up, the idea of moving up onto a new level in God. Now, all of us have experience of stepping up to a new level, whether it's starting to go to church, or whether it's starting to read our Bible, or whether it's getting to a new level in terms of operating the gifts of the Spirit, or whether it's a new level in discipline. In fact, we made a list of things which challenged us, and that should have been from that point. And we had prayer, word, getting into the Bible. We talked about calling, and we talked about faith, praying for healing, moving on in witness, and in holiness. Come back in a minute and see if we've got any more things that we can think of where we've had that experience of stepping up to a new level in terms of our relationship and commitment to God. And in these ways, we find ourselves doing good in ways that we hadn't before. So we find ourselves more into prayer, more into the Word. And it doesn't work like the... I'm talking about things which stick better and are more tenacious than a New Year resolution where by the 17th of January, whatever it is, 90% people have stopped doing it. But we're pushing on in. We're resisting temptation. We're looking for opportunities to talk to our friends about Jesus. We've decided that our automatic reaction will not be to reach for the paracetamols or the Danus or whatever, but that we'll at least take a fair crack at asking God to come in, where we're going to start believing for new finance rather than spending half the month full of panic, and we're going to realise that God has called us to do something. We're getting regularly into the Bible. I would encourage you never ever to set yourself a standard of reading the Bible every day. For one simple reason, you can only fail. You can never excel if you set yourself that standard. But most people find that with the lives we have got, if you actually set yourself to spend time in the Word 5 days, then at least you've got the 2 days at the weekend to catch up on all five when you've missed them. I know that's... That may be sort of a council of failure, but you know, think in terms of do what's doable, because if it ain't doable, it won't get done. And with prayer, think about what your mix and what your style is of prayer. Some people are able to pray in the car regularly. Other people feel as though they need to concentrate on their driving. Don't seem to make any difference to me what I'm thinking about when I'm driving. I just sort of drive the same. So I'm happy to pray, but I know that I have to consciously press the mute button on the radio if I want to pray. And that's quite a discipline for me, because I love to have a stream of sound coming through all the time. So that's what we're talking about, that kind of stepping up. Now, when we talk about moving up a level, we're not actually talking about standards. You know, sort of, there is a defined general standard A, and then we move on to level B, and then on to level C. It's very easy to put it like, think of it like that. And if you're a relatively new Christian, or feel as though you've got a long way to go, you'll go around thinking, ah, well, there's Pete Waterman here who's sort of on level Z plus one, you know, sort of been at it for a long time, is trusting God and so on. And there's Ian over there who's even further on, and there's Rolf, because he's able to bring good worship and able to stir us up, so he must actually live just very, very close to where the Apostle Peter is functioning. You know, we've got all those standards, and however crackers that seems to you, if you're the person I'm talking about, people do think in that sort of way, and we praise God for the progress we all make. But so everybody has got their own standards. It talks about that in the Bible, that everybody needs to live by their own standards, because everybody has different pressures. But the other thing as well is that our lives are not even. And so there may be areas, for instance, where Donna is far down the road in terms of prayer compared to other people, but she may have issues with anxiety. And I'm not bringing a prophetic word here. I just wanted to pick on somebody I hadn't mentioned that other people won't have. And now our lives are a mishmash, aren't they? They're uneven. You know, we don't live consistently, which is why I found that thing helpful about Jesus being the way, the truth and the life, the fact that we proceed unevenly there. So we talked about the fact that we've got those sort of things in our lives, and that we need to step up to a level and keep there, but that we find that some sort of attrition, some sort of decline occurs, and we listed a whole set of things there. We talked about opposition, feeling rejected, lack of support, not being honest with ourselves, talked about disappointment, finding difficulties that we didn't expect, find that it doesn't make a difference. I tell you, that is a real killer with fasting and prayer. When you pray and you fast and it doesn't make a blind bit of difference to the situation, or doesn't appear to. Not wanting to be uncomfortable, that's another one. Of course, that's partly not expecting the difficulty, but pushing out. I talked about an example of how I didn't want to be embarrassed and uncomfortable. Talked about forgetting, and that's one with this business of finding out what God is doing and joining in with him, that we just forget to think in those sort of terms and getting distracted by the pressures of life. So we got that whole sort of stuff and I used as an interpretive piece of the Bible that thing about not growing weary in well-doing, doing good, because these are all varieties of doing good. These are all varieties of growing weary, because in due season we will reap if we do not faint. Now that's a combination of the NIV and the Authorised Version, in the way I've quoted it there. But that word, do not faint, and the word about growing weary, both of those are connected. And when it's used in a literal sense, I think it's only one, this one about growing weary, is when Jesus talks about the people after the feeding of the 5,000, or at the feeding of the 5,000, where he says, I don't want to send these guys away because they've got a long way to go, they've got no food, and they will grow weary. Actually, they will collapse, it translates as. So that's what it's talking about. And in the New Testament, we identified that some of the times it's used, it's the term that's used is losing heart. And that's a pretty good way of describing how, having stepped up to a new level, we lose heart, we lose passion, we lose enthusiasm, and we slip back to where we were before. Carol describes it as taking 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Well, I think that's pretty much success in my book, if I've achieved one extra step. But sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. You feel as though it's been in your life. And you've then got to deal with the problem of, why should I try? What's going to make a difference? Now, I'm pretty certain that all of us exist more or less in that mix. And I did. Let's just run through the slides to move. We talked about the cost of following Jesus. And, of course, we concentrated on that, that verse. We did some... And I did put up the material over the next over the last week. It works better at home because we've got faster internet. And I should have. There is a way of doing it faster. And we went through these. And I just want to get up the final slide, really. No, it's still going slow. Okay, these are the things that we went through. And they're here. Okay, that's what's been up on the website, on Facebook and everywhere else we post during the week. And I hope you've been getting a chance to look at those. So the verses we looked at are, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And the process by which we experience renewal, we said, was considering Jesus. And in order to do that, you spend time in the scriptures, you spend time meditating on him, you spend time in conversation with prayer, in prayer. And we invest in the inner. If one sows to the spirit instead of the flesh, we know what the flesh is, that's our physical body. One who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. We will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. You have to engage with the process. Do not lose heart when the Lord rebukes you. There are a lot of people who go around stamping their feet when God brings them up with a jerk. You know, you sort of find yourself thinking, oh gosh, this is not working. I've had the wrong attitude here. And instead of responding positively to God under those circumstances, we just let it all get on top of us. The other thing we talked about was understanding the seasons and then becoming confident in our calling. And you remember I commented on that passage, 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through to 2 Corinthians 4, 1, that there was a great chunk in the middle which meant that you could possibly miss the connection. It actually does say, since through God's mercy he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, we do not lose heart. There is nothing like feeling that you are useless to make you not want to bother. I can remember on one occasion PE teacher saying to me, when I'd been put in goal as the last person being kicked, and I'd let a ball just sail past me, dreaming about something else. He said, what were you doing? I was eating an orange, I said. And he just tutted and walked away because he knew it was completely hopeless. I turned up, I was there. Nobody really wanted me in their team, and it just wasn't worth the bother. And we can be like that if we don't believe that God has called us to be effective and to be agents of the new kingdom. Now, there are two things I wanted to mention this morning, and then I want to pray. Let's do this quite quickly. Number one is this. You know that while we were away in Thailand, there was a tsunami warning. And it was an interesting situation, because we got a heads up on this because we'd been down at the pool, had come up, Jez and Sue had been away, we'd got the kids, Susanna had gone to have her nails done and then had picked up the laundry from a little shed where it was being done for us, had come back to the room, and Ethan was lying on the bed watching CNN. Who do you want?
Andy Weeds.
Andy Weeds. Okay. There was this announcement that there'd been a really, really, really big earthquake off Indonesia, and there was a tsunami warning out for the whole of the Indian Ocean. Now, Wendy had sat and read all the way through. There are pages and pages of what to do in tsunami warning in all the hotels. She'd read all the way through it. And I'd mocked her. Yeah, I'd mocked her for that. And all the way along as we've been driving, you'd seen signs, tsunami evacuation point, right? And we were on the Indian Ocean. We were on the Andaman Sea. But we were due to go the following morning. We had a van, and we said, right, let's go now. Let's get ourselves sorted out. So as we were dragging our cases across, children cases, sort of Tom refusing to walk fast. He was in mid-afternoon awkwardness. Wendy trying to drag him along with all sorts of promises. Suddenly the sirens went off in the hotel all the way around the area. And the voice, both in Thai and in English, go now. And we came across a couple of German tourists and one of the hotel staff arguing with one another. And Susanna, who in the stories I've told her, you know, is quite definite, got in the face of this woman and said, tsunami, go now. And suddenly they panicked. We stuffed them in our van and went out towards the town, realised that all the traffic was moving the other way, and shot up the hill where people were running in swimming costumes, carrying small children, no shoes, up to the top of the hill. When we got to the top of the hill, there was, which had been sort of cleared for this sort of purpose, there were people who, there were some people saying, you need to go into the forest, into the jungle. Sue and Jez know enough about living in Thailand to know you don't go into the jungle unless you need to. So you've got some Thai people saying you've got to go in there, other Thai people saying I wouldn't go in there, there are cobras. There's sort of conflict. And we gave away some shoes and t-shirts and stuff, but there were people in tears with little children. Both Jez and I got told off for trying to take photographs. Once again, by Susanna, she thought it was bad form. We were up there for several hours, and were told that this was the most serious warning they'd had. They'd had five over the last 7 years, and the last time they'd been up there, they'd been up there for 4 days, which was pretty crazy. And we were the only people with any water and a vehicle and so on, and it didn't feel terribly comfortable really with that. We're the only people fully dressed, I think, more or less, who were up there. As hundreds of people gradually gathered, the person who was coolest and got himself together most was Tom, who's a real sort of Bear Grylls. And from the time he got up there, he got 2 sticks that he was rubbing together and was gradually assembling a fire. Well, first of all, we heard that it probably wasn't going to be too long. And as it got dark, we needed a fire because of the of needing some smoke around. The insects were a fairly serious problem. And soon after it got dark, we were told that we could come down again. And we breathed a huge sigh of relief. Now, what I feel to tell you this morning, to talk to you about, is the fact that there are some of you who, when you step up to a higher level, are doing it because you're scared of something, right? Something goes wrong in your life, one of the children are sick, or you think you're going to lose your job, or there's not enough money to go around, or there's a particular crisis, and you think, I'm going to start praying, or I'm going to fast, or I'm going to take life seriously. It's not because of what I'm saying that they're coming under conviction. They're more preoccupied with fish fingers than they are with the... And we sort of move up to another level. But then the inevitable gets over. The inevitable problems are dealt with, we cope. And then we're happy to let the thing come down again. And I just want to challenge you on that. Because moving up like that is not good. There's this guy that gets talked about 3 times by Paul. His name's Demas. And on 2 occasions, he talks about the fact that Demas is with him and has been really valuable with other people like Luke. And on the last time, he says, Demas has left me because he loved this present evil world. Because he loved this world. And sometimes, you know, the crazy thing about it is that we start looking to God because we love our world. I can't tell you how many wives I've talked to who, when their husbands are under pressure and need a new job, are happy to pray for them to have more work to do and get a better job and get more money coming in. But then, later on, when these same guys are motivated to invest their lives in serving God, the wives show that they're only interested, really, in having the husband around and having a comfortable home, because they don't want that investment to occur and to continue. And of course that can come the other way around as well. It can work in all sorts of ways. There are things in our lives that we want to see happen, and we think the only deal we can do is to seek God. Now, that, of course, is occult, you know, is pagan, because it's trying to manipulate spiritual powers to do that. Have you ever thought that you can actually do fasting and prayer for very wrong reasons? James says, you ask and you don't get, because you're asking for the wrong reasons, so that you can consume it on your flesh or on your strong desires. Yeah? Now, I have to put my hand up to that, to think that sometimes my motivation in praying and seeking God has been for Dayspring to grow, or for Dayspring to break even, or for one of our projects to work. It's not, the motivation hasn't been for the kingdom of God to come in all its fullness, which is where the motivation needs to be. Now, okay, let's see how this connects, because I haven't had a chance to think this through. What occurred to me was that there's a connection here with a guy called Daniel. You know about Daniel? Know a little bit about Daniel? Know a lot about Daniel. Daniel, very interesting guy. He and three other people were actually taken to Babylon when their country was invaded. They were taken to Babylon as part of the elite to become part of the force for the new government. Happens wherever you get that sort of thing happen. The scientists are creamed off, the good administrators are creamed off, very able people are taken to the centre, whether it's Moscow or whether it's Berlin or whether it's somewhere else entirely, or in this case Babylon, and these people are going to be trained and developed. Now what happens here is these guys, to survive, need to live at a different spiritual level. They can either go into the religion of the locality or they can stay with God. If they're going to stay with God, they know there are certain things they can't do. And so they say to the person who was administering them, or who was organising this, look, we do not want to eat the stuff that you're eating because it's been offered to false gods and so on. Please allow us to go on a vegetarian diet and to eat safely within our religious understanding, and leave us for 10 days and see what happens. Now, what happens is that is a big step up for them. And Andy and David and I have been doing some meditating about this 10 days thing and what it might mean for us, but that's another conversation. But I do think it connects at this point. Now, what could have happened is these guys get up to this level where their religious sensitivities, where the commitment to God is recognised, and then just stay there. But they could easily have fallen back. They could have easily stepped back as well. But they don't. The next chapter, that happens in chapter 1. In chapter 2, they're interpreting dreams. They're functioning at a hugely impressive level. In the third chapter, one of the most miraculous things in the whole of the Old Testament occurs, where the three guys, I don't know what Daniel was doing, he was out of the picture, perhaps he was on a trip somewhere, business trip somewhere, and end up in a fiery furnace. And the thing that makes it remarkable, that with them in this this furnace, which should, you know, this crematorium, which should have got rid of them entirely, is somebody who's like the Son of God, it says. Really provocative, isn't it? Doesn't say it was the Son of God, but most people think that it was an appearance of Jesus before the time that he came in human flesh. Chapter 4. We read about Nebuchadnezzar and how he ended up going mad. He had a breakdown and lived in the fields for 4 years like an animal. In chapter 5, it starts. We get into the story of a king called Belshazzar, and his dream is interpreted, and real strong position taken by Daniel. Chapter 6, I'm going to lose, I can't remember all the chapters, but I'm doing quite well at the moment. Chapter 6, Daniel sort of replays the situation with the three of them, right? You remember they ended up in a fiery furnace, he ends up in a lion's den, okay? And comes out of that one. So here you've got somebody who doesn't slip. And if you go through the next chapters, there's some fascinating things in there, because he gets most of what we say about spiritual warfare comes from the next 2-3 chapters in the Old Testament, chapters 7 to 10. But then I just wanted to I hope I remember this bit right, otherwise I'm going to look a right idiot. Ezekiel, Daniel, right at the end of the book, I wanted to point out something to you, and just as I think there's a word for some of you who are responding to a tsunami warning when you step up, I think there are some of you who need to just get a hold of this verse. Yeah. Daniel is receiving prophetic words, and in the very last verse, what happens is this. God says to him, as for you, right, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Now, what would happen if we step up to a new level, and the word of the Lord to us is, as for you, keep on keeping on. The next major change for you is you're going to die. Okay? And you're going to get the benefit when it comes to the end of the age. And actually, you know, that's the word for every one of us. Because whatever good stuff we're going to see, we're not going to see all that God has placed in our heart until either we die or Jesus comes back. If you think you are going to see all that God has placed in your heart, then you haven't been believing God for very much. Okay? We're pressing through to things that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. And I just want to bring those two challenges. One, are you really looking to move on in God for the sake of the kingdom, or for the sake of your kingdom, his kingdom or your kingdom? And the other one is this. Are you up for keeping on until the day dawns? And there's only one day that's worth calculating. So, let's pray. And if you feel that you want to talk in more depth about this afterwards, then I'd be really happy to do so. But let's just pray for now. Father, I know that the reason I've talked about this idea of wanting to step up a level for my own reasons, I know the reason I've talked about this is that it's so often been the case in my own life that there's been some mixed motive here. And Lord, I pray for me, and I pray for everybody else as well, that the first thing that happens is that you'll cause us not to be overcome by guilt, but overcome by your grace and your mercy, in knowing that there's a different place where we can be. Lord, we do have our own agenda, but deep down we know we want your agenda. And Father, for those of us who are in that position, I pray that you'll do a strong work in us. Come and touch our hearts, cause us to join you, to have an expectation of doing what you want, so that your kingdom comes near. And then Father, I pray for those of us who are in the other camp at the moment, where we have started out and we are subject to disappointment, we're impacted by opposition, we're finding ourselves struggling with these things that we're doing. Just going to go through that list. Aware of being rejected, being opposed, having a lack of support, suffering from disappointment, finding difficulties we didn't expect, finding that what we're doing in following God doesn't make a difference, not enjoying, being uncomfortable, forgetting and getting distracted. Lord, we're in those things. Lord, we do want to be like Daniel and his guys, who get on that higher level and then stay there, whatever, until the end. Lord, make us people who don't only start well, but finish well. Amen. Okay, that's it. I would love to talk to anybody who feels they would benefit from further prayer. We'll have lunch in about 10 minutes' time.